Thank you. Morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. I am glad you are able to be with us this morning. We are looking forward to what God has for us today and what God has for us in this new year, 2021. We look forward, trying to look forward to 2021 with great hope and anticipation in what God has for us in renewal, in seeing Him at work in our lives, in our hearts, and in this world. And of course, we are hopeful for a healthy 2021. And many of us have had to deal with these restrictions of COVID-19 and some of the frustrations that go with that. There's no guarantee that's going away anytime soon, but what we want to really be after and focus on is the blessings, even in the midst of some of the difficulties that we might have, that God is indeed still at work, and to look for those blessings and renewal. This morning, I will be preaching, and again, following the series that we've been doing in Advent, I'll be wrapping that up this morning. And then next Sunday, next week, we're going to step into a sermon series that's based on the Sermon on the Mount. And so we'll be in the book of Matthew looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And the way we have that lined out schedule-wise is it's going to take us right up into Easter. So we're going to spend some time there and really dive into, in this new year, looking at the words of Jesus and those teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. So we are anticipating and looking forward to that. A couple announcements for us this morning. This is in your bulletin, too. Hopefully you've gotten that and can see that. But next Sunday, January 10th, is our soup and bread fundraiser for Drift Creek Camp. And this is another one of those drive into the church and pick up the soup and bread and say hello to people and then head home so that you can maybe eat that as you watch the sermon, a church service, however you want to do that. But we're looking forward to that next Sunday. So again, it'll be from 8:30 to 9:30, drive by the church here, pick up. And then if you want to donate to Drift Creek Camp, you see there the details of that. Checks can be made out to Zion. In the memo, put Drift Creek Camp. And so we are excited about that, excited to see one another again in the new year, and also to help out the camp as well. Next Sunday, also, the Sunday school class that had been meeting through Zoom will start. We'll meet again next Sunday. We didn't meet this Sunday, but we'll start meeting next Sunday. If you've been a part of that class, you are getting the emails and updates about that and some of what we're anticipating, some discussion around what we've learned. We've really focusing in on what do we do with this issue of racism? How do we recognize our own bias? And what do we do now as we enter this new year? How do we continue that discussion? So that's some of what's going on in the Sunday school class starting again next Sunday at 8:45. If you want to be a part of that and you're not on the email list and the links to that, let us know here at the office and we'll connect you so that you can get connected with that Sunday school class. One of the things I'm looking forward to from that Sunday school class is that it'd be great to have a few of us be able to share some of your learnings and testimony, witness of how God is working, revealing maybe what God might be calling you to in regards to your own thinking about racism, injustice, and how we continue to work at that as individuals and as a congregation. So, Sunday school class starting next Sunday. That is all the announcements I have for us. Let me have a prayer for us this morning as we continue in our service. God, thank you for a new year. Thank you for how you have blessed us and been with us in the past year of 2020. And we are grateful for this opportunity to be together this morning as a congregation. God, open us up to what you would have us to learn in our hearts and minds today. And also, God, give us the hope, the encouragement, the understanding of what we need to do, who we need to be as we continue this journey as a congregation, as a people of God, with you into 2021. Bless this service, the things we have planned. May your word speak to our hearts. Amen. Frank now will come and guide us in a call to worship. Frank.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's going to be better than last year. Is that wood? There we go. This is a familiar psalm, Psalms 34, 1 through 10. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called out to God, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in the Lord. Fear the Lord, all you saints, for those who fear him lack no good thing. Even the lions get tired and weak and hungry, but those who seek after the Lord will be satisfied.
Thank you.
It is now time for the children's story, so if the children are close by, have them gather around for children's story.
Okay, it's time for our very last story in the little barn. Yeah, here we go. So baby Jesus was still living with his parents in Bethlehem, and that is when the king, the wise men, the important people from far away came to visit him. Yeah, important people. The shepherds came to see Jesus when he was born, and important people came from far away, and they brought him expensive presents, very fancy presents, yeah, that he could use as he grew up. Yeah, all for baby Jesus. There we see baby Jesus laying there. Yeah, all for baby Jesus. Expensive presents from far away. Mm-hmm. We don't even know how many wise men there were. There's one wise man here. There could have been quite a few. We don't know for sure. Yeah. Do you ever put out hay for wise men? For the camels? For their camels when they come? You know, in some parts of the world, kids put hay out for the wise men, and then so that they can give it to their camels. They put water and hay out before they go to bed on Epiphany. That's the day we celebrate, when the wise men came to see Jesus. Maybe you should talk to your parents and see if you could put out some hay and water, and maybe you will get a special present from the wise men. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus, for coming into our world and being here with us. Thank you for keeping us safe during this holiday season and for always being beside us, no matter where we go and what we do in this world. Help us to remember that you're always there, God, always there for us, the light in our darkness, in unexpected places, and in places where we know you'll be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh.
Thanks, Gina. Those are fun. You got a gift. The scripture this morning is from Ephesians 3, 7 through 12. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities of the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence.
Can you all see this? Let's see. Oh, yeah. This is a light. Actually, this is even a Christmas present that was given to me this year, because from time to time, I need light in very interesting places, like when I'm working on a vehicle, when I maybe am in the garage. So this light has a magnet and has all kinds of hooks and things that I can hang it up. But it is a light that shines bright. As you can see, it's even hard to see me. This light is shining so bright. What we know is that light will always shine in darkness. We know that from experience. We see that here this morning, that how bright this is, that it doesn't matter how dark a place is. If there's a little bit of light, that light will dispel the darkness around it. Think about this. If you're in a room that has a light on, and outside that room is a dark hall, if you open the door to go out into the hall, the light from the room you're in goes out into the hallway. You don't see the darkness from the hallway coming into the room. We can't even hardly imagine it. That would be just silly. Light will always shine in the darkness. And so this morning, we're talking about radiance. And radiance is about how we reflect, we shine the light of God through this relationship with Jesus. Now, we are wrapping up the series of Advent, and we've been in this for 5 weeks. This is week number 6, and each week we've had an R word. So do any of you remember any of the R words? If you remember an R word, put it in the chat. What are the R words? This morning is radiance, so if you need one, I'll give you that one. I'm going to give them all to you. But I was just wondering if any of you remember any of these R's. So a brief review. The first Sunday of Advent that I preached, the word was readiness. Anybody remember that? Raise your hand. Readiness. More of a test on the preacher, not on the listeners. All right. Readiness is that desire to make room. To make room for Jesus at home, to make room to receive the gift of Jesus. And again, this theory, thinking about in this series, Jesus at home, Jesus in our homes, literally, but figuratively in our hearts. And that first one was readiness. The second one, repentance. And that's that letting go of what God calls us to let go of, what isn't what is in God's will for us. Letting go of sin, but then making room for God in a new way. Repentance. So readiness, repentance, and then next was restoration. And this was the week that Jana preached, and understanding how we become whole in body and spirit. And Jana talked about hope and joy in Jesus, and that Jesus, healer of what is broken, but you and I then also experience that healing of what is broken, that restoration. And then the next week was revelation, the revealing of God with us through Jesus, revelation. And last Sunday, talking about rejoicing. The waiting is over, the joy of receiving, of getting that gift, and how joy continues to abound in us through us, that rejoicing. Which brings us to this morning, radiance, being that light. And this morning, we're going to look at this example of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 as he's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus to see just an example of what it would be like for someone to always be that light, that radiance. It's kind of interesting, depending where I hold this light, it radiates differently, right? Kind of fun to play with that. So I'll spend the rest of the morning just looking at the light. I thought about, I also have a headlight, one of those things you wear on your forehead so that you can see when you're working. Now, that wasn't a gift this year, so I didn't bring that, but I thought about wearing that, but that might distract some of you, as this light is distracting me. How about that? All right, back to Paul. This example of radiance, of how we see in this letter to the Ephesians a reflection of Paul's experience with Jesus. Now, this letter, the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing this, and he's writing it to a church And it's a little different maybe than some of his other letters. And some of his other letters, he's really specific about some details. The book of Ephesians more opening up the church to what it is that God is calling the church to, kind of giving a vision of the abundance of what the church could be. Chapter 4, verse 1 is kind of what I see as the theme of Ephesians. He says, Paul's urging us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. And so it's living into that worthiness. It is the fulfillment, as what I see here in Ephesians, that fulfillment of being the light. And Paul being that example then as he writes this. And so remembering Paul's experience, you know, if you go back into Acts chapter 9, that is where Paul first encountered Jesus in a very real, powerful way. And to think about that experience that Paul had in his conversion. If you remember this story in Acts chapter 9, Paul, who was called Saul at that time, before his conversion, he was known as Saul. Saul was, I mean, he was a church goer. He was a Jew that was just so set on following the law, and he was persecuting all those involved with the Jesus movement. And so he is on his way to persecute more believers in Jesus because he really was part of this understanding of how that Jesus was not the Messiah. And so on his way, Jesus meets him. And one of the descriptions in this conversion is Jesus meets him with great light. Again, thinking about that light, that experience of great light. And that light was so great upon Saul, who became Paul, that light was so great that it blinded him. And then in that blindness, he gets this understanding of God's call on his life. And Ananias is the man who kind of helps Paul to see this, literally see, as we see in the text, but also this understanding of what God wanted to do in Paul's life. And so Paul, who is Saul at this point, blind from this experience on the Damascus Road. Verse 17 in Acts chapter 9, then Ananias went to the house where Paul was and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming, has sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And it says that immediately things like scales fall off of Paul's eyes, and he can see. And again, that there's that light blinding Paul. So there's darkness, and then there's that receiving of sight again of light. And then that experience of being able to see. Could you imagine what it would be like to be blind, having been able to see, then to be blind, and then to be restored to sight again? That must have just been an amazing experience for Paul, and I think probably something that really impacted all of his life, all of his ministry from that time on, and perhaps even was something that he was thinking about when he wrote Philippians. Because remember, in Philippians chapter 2, this encouragement to the church to be doing things without grumbling or arguing, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, and he says, "So that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars." See, here's that imagery again, shining among them like stars in a very dark world. And so to think about this radiance that comes out of a life of experience, of connection with God through a relationship with Jesus, and how that radiance, that once it's in us, we can't help but it be a part of who we are. That others will just look at us and see that there's a radiance about us, to see that Jesus has impacted our lives, that we have an experience with Almighty God. You know, in the account of Jesus' birth, if we look at the account that Matthew wrote, we see there in Matthew chapter 2, this recording of the wise men seeking after and searching for Jesus. And that's where this star appears, the star of Bethlehem. It says when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And that radiance, that light bringing joy to their hearts. And that's the radiance that flows through us. It brought joy to these wise men that were seeking after what this star meant and their understanding of this star. And if we see here in Matthew chapter 2, this story where they're seeking after the star, they saw the star when it rose up and they've come to worship him. So they're seeking after him. They go to the king Herod and say, where is this king that has been born? And then in verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard the news, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. So this radiance, this star, for some, it brings an overwhelming joy. Like the wise men, overjoyed. But for others, in the biblical text, we see that it doesn't bring joy. In fact, it is a disturbance. It's an upset. In John chapter 1, verse 5, that says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Again, the fact that light will shine in darkness, certainly, but there seems to be a need for this balance, this understanding in the biblical text of Jesus being the light that to some is that radiance, that joy, that overwhelming response of God at work in the world. But for others, it also brought fear. It brought upset. And what do we do with that? How do we understand this fact that for some, Jesus brings a joy, and for others, it seems to bring a heartache. It seems to bring disturbance, upset. We don't understand. So this balance of Jesus being the light to some, the light that shines in the darkness, but for others, being that stumbling block. And I think as I look back over this series at Advent, the difference between Jesus being that light that brings joy and hope into our lives, or being darkness or upset or disturbance or fear, I think it has something to do with these six R words. I mean, if we can be ready, and to be ready, we need to be watching. What is God doing? Where is God at work? So that readiness that then leads us to an understanding of who God is and who God's calling us to be. And in that is repentance. And that's an ongoing lifelong process of repentance, of turning away from that which God doesn't want for us to turning towards that which God does want for us. And then that understanding of restoration coming alongside and working in our hearts that we don't have to be stuck in what was in the past, but because of the work of God in our hearts through being ready to receive Jesus through that repentance, there's this restoration of bringing us the newness that comes with each day. And it's not that the past goes away or that we forget the past, but the past doesn't hold us back. 2020 doesn't hold us back for what God wants for us in 2021. Whatever it was back there that perhaps things that brought us down, things that were disturbing, health issues, all of that, that God isn't going to keep that from helping us and seeing how we can move into the newness of 2021, that restoration. And then in that restoration, in seeing God moving in new ways in 2021 is revelation. God continuing to reveal to us who God is more and more. And some of you have known God for a really long time. But even those folks, even us who have known God for a really long time, there's a newness coming in 2021, a revelation. Something maybe we haven't thought about before, something we haven't been able to do before, but God revealing to us more and more who God is and who God's calling us to be. And when that happens, there is rejoicing. When there's newness in our lives and our walk with God, there is rejoicing. We can't help it. And then in the midst of that rejoicing is this radiance, is this being the light of who God is in our hearts, how God is at work in our lives, how Jesus is real, and that's the light that shines. And when we step into the newness of a new day, a new week, a new year, it's an opportunity. These opportunities come along time and time again. I mean, even this morning, opportunity to shine as light, whether it's at home, getting ready to look at, watch Zoom church. For me, it was driving here, opportunities to shine the light in how I drive. Let's not talk too much about that. But the what is it that God wants to reveal to us and that radiance? And I think all of those ours, and probably a lot more in our lives, is what is the difference between seeing Jesus as radiant light of hope, grace, love, or darkness, fear, trembling. Now, if there is that sense of fear in our lives, that sense of darkness or trembling, I want to investigate that. Where does that come from? What is that about for me? And are there pieces, are there parts of any of those R words that I need to really understand more? Does it mean that there's something there that I need to repent of? It could be. But in this, God is working and walking with us. Just as God was walking with Paul, even as he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. I mean, really, to think about our relationship with God, bringing light to our own hearts and minds, but also to light, to be light for those around us. And that's what Paul's talking about here in understanding this mystery of the church, in that we are receiving the love of God and sharing that love with those around us. Jesus at home in our hearts is this abundance, an abundance of radiance that is giving and receiving love, grace, freedom, and confidence. So love. In Ephesians chapter 3, we know that Paul he's in prison while he's writing this letter. And it says in verse 1 in chapter 3, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for the sake of the Gentiles." That's who Paul was called. His gift was and calling was to preach to the Gentiles. And then verse 7, "I became a servant of this gospel." And so those are words of love, that we are called to serve one another. That's an act of love, that we're called to use the gifts that God has given us. Those are actions of love. And this is about the abundance of the radiance of God upon us, reflecting to those around us. Paul's doing that. And then this grace that he talks about here, that's God's grace that was given to me for you, he says in verse 2. In verse 7, "the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." So, right alongside God's love, Paul pulls out God's grace and the working out of God's grace. And that people that saw Paul or were around Paul couldn't help but see the love and grace that was reflecting from Paul to those around him. Part of what we know when Paul was in prison is that he was chained to guards, and a variety of guards. And so, just that the guards would see and understand Paul reflecting the love and grace of God. Some have theorized, and I don't know much about how we can prove or disprove this kind of thinking, but I love to imagine what it would have been like to be that guard chained to Paul, and Paul's just reflecting the love and grace of God. And that some of those chained to Paul probably received and understood this light in new ways, and maybe even experienced these R's of radiance, of readiness, of repentance and restoration, and changed their lives. I would think so. I mean, to think about Paul and his vision and what God had called him to and his gifts, that those that would have been chained to him would have heard the gospel, the good news, and their lives would have been changed. because of that. I don't necessarily ever want to be chained with any of you. I mean, you're all lovely people, but I don't think I'd want to be chained with you and have to be with you all the time. But if I did, if we were chained to someone, in that, would they see the mystery of Christ, the good news being revealed and reflecting in our lives? That, to me, is a challenge, because there are things in this world that make me grumpy and grouchy and not reflecting in any way the light. What are some of those things? You come hang out with me for a few, maybe hours, but I would hope days or weeks it would take. But yeah, what are the things that make me grouchy or make you grumpy in life? You know, I don't like flat tires. I don't like cars that don't start. I don't like getting sick. All that kind of stuff can really wear me down. And I can completely forget about this love and grace that God has given to us. And that this mystery that Paul is revealing and talking about here, this mystery of the good news of Christ, and really in this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 3, he is really focusing in on the understanding of relationships. I mean, this was monumental in history that the Jews and Gentiles would be in the same place and get along with one another, that they could figuratively be chained to one another and enjoy it and love it. Now, what's this mean for us today? Well, are there people in your life that you don't agree with? Are there people in your life that you would sooner not see them? That this social distancing has been a real blessing because you don't have to interact with those folks. So what would it be like to be with those people, to engage in conversation with them, even about the things that you disagree about or don't like about one another, but be able to show God's love, God's grace, to be able to connect with one another and be the light of Jesus? That's a challenge, because even at Zion, some of us don't agree with one another. And it seems to be, for some of us, we've made maybe an agreement. What we disagree about, we just won't talk about. And we kind of manage our way through life. And I would wonder if there's a better way. And if part of that is this understanding of love and grace that God has shed upon my life, upon me, that I can extend that to others, just like Paul was extending that to those that had arrested him, to the guards that were with him. And he continues to just reveal God's grace, God's love. And if you read Paul's writings in the New Testament, you're going to at times wonder, where is this grace and love? Because Paul can be pretty abrasive at times. But to remember, even in that, that his vision for what God wanted for God's people was this overarching understanding of love and grace. And he recognizes in verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 3 that he says, although I'm less than the least of all of God's people, grace given me. And then he again goes back to his giftings and his callings to preach the gospel. And in revealing this mystery, he talks about in verse 9, to make plain to everyone the working of the mystery, which was hidden in the past, but now is being revealed. And what is this? Verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, and that's through us, through you and I, think about this. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, interesting word, manifold. What I know of manifolds is kind of the back to car work, right? Working on engines. There's the exhaust manifold and air intake manifolds. But it's this understanding that all of us individually have parts of God's grace, of God's love, and that the manifold is bringing that together. The church brings all that together. The wisdom of God is in all of us being together in conversation, in community. and that the wisdom of God, then it says in Ephesians, is being revealed. And interestingly enough, it doesn't say it's being revealed to others in our community. It doesn't say it's being revealed to presidents or politicians or to other places around the world. It says the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There's something that is much bigger than anything I can see in this world that being the church is about. There's something much bigger than we can ever imagine. And this is just a glimpse into it, that what you and I do together as the church is bringing this manifold wisdom of God being revealed in the heavenly realms. I don't know what it all means. It means it's spiritual, it's angels, it's demonic, it's Satan, it's all of those pieces. That suddenly what we are doing in thinking about these R words and thinking about God's love and God's grace, it's much bigger than just this world, than just this church, than just my life. Because verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 3, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, that finished work. In him and through faith in him, we can approach God. And there's these two words, freedom and confidence. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. And as we do that, we can love one another in that freedom and confidence. Even people that we don't like, even people that we disagree with, that we can still be the radiance of God's love and grace through Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can actually attain and get to a place where we can be people like people described in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over people. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You and I, radiant light to one another, to the church, to the world, but also as we see in Ephesians, this concept and understanding that it's even beyond that, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What a challenge for 2021 to be able to be a people. Love, grace, freedom, confidence. I can't wait to see what's ahead in 2021. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being at work in our hearts and minds, and that you can reveal to us the newness that comes with a new day, a new week, and a new year. Help us to be faithful in that which you've called us to. In your name I pray, amen. All right, Gina's going to have a song. Jesus, light of the world. Shine on. right. I want to say thanks to Gina for being our tech this morning. Appreciate all those who do that work. Certainly is helpful for each of us that are being able to take part in Zoom church. It's just a newness that is always interesting every Sunday, and I just really appreciate Gina's work and others too who do that. We're going to enter into a time of prayer for the congregation. I want to recognize Matthew and Becky are with us this morning through Zoom. So, yep, there they are. I can say wave to them. I understand it's Becky's birthday, perhaps even the day. Is that correct? So we're certainly glad to have her and Matthew as well joining us this morning. And so remember, after the service, to stay on. We can say hi to everyone and wave. And I'm not one to sing, but maybe, you know, be happy birthday time, perhaps. For the benediction, Gina's going to be playing the Lord's Prayer that Tom did for us. So let's listen to that.